Amen. Thank you, praise team. And thank you, Kids Connection Choir. That was awesome. As we've gone into this worship time, I know God has already been speaking to your heart. I'd like you to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians, which is near the back of the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Looks like this. And by the way, we are so much believers that every household should have a copy of God's Word, then I'm going to tell you what. After you use the one in the pew rack, we've got a box of Bibles, just like the one you're using in the pew rack back there. And you just, when you go out, just take one out of the box, take it home with you. Consider it our free gift today, because it's important for you to read the Word of God yourself. And so turn to Galatians. It's right there in the back of the Bible. We're going to look there in just a minute in chapter 5 as we continue to go a part of this series through the book of Galatians, where Paul, the Apostle Paul, has written a letter to the churches in Galatia. It's a group of churches in that area. And one of the problems that they're having is that, much like today, they have been receiving a lot of mixed messages from the world around them on what good news is, what it takes to get to know God and how to do that. And they've been getting it not only from the world around them in a new age kind of way, but they've also been getting it from inside the church. Because there are some folks, even today, who still believe that it's how good you are that gets you close to God. And it's how bad you are that takes you away from God. And that it's what you do. If you keep these certain commandments, these certain rules and regulations, you can draw close to God and maybe He'll smile on you. If you don't, you're definitely condemned. And the great big old mean God in the sky will strike you down and condemn you to hell. This has been something that has robbed Christians from the joy that God intended for them to experience for thousands of years. Because they've gone through and they've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and then lived their life burdened with the rules and regulations of the church. Now, when you talk about the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ, that doesn't sound that good. So Paul writes to the church in Galatia and therefore to us today to say, hey, let me tell you again and remind you what good news is all about. The good news of Jesus Christ. And so if you take out, now's a good time to take out that yellow sheet if you want to follow along and kind of track with us where we are. And we're looking at Galatians 5 in just a second, but let's review quickly. We said there's four corners, basically, four signposts, four things that you can hang your hat on as what the gospel is. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? What is the good news that is in cover to cover in the Scripture? And I want to just give you those four things. They're listed right there for you. But God, first of all, created you and loves you. That is a huge, important thing about good news. That is good news. You were not a mistake. I have a little brother. I'm 15 years older than him. We stopped calling him a mistake and just a surprise. Okay? He was a surprise to my parents. But let me tell you something. He was not a mistake. He was not an accident. We didn't catch God off guard when you came into this world. He created you. He loved you. He intended for you to be here. And He has a plan for your life and to be a part of His kingdom. This is the gospel. It's good news because you are meaningful and you were somebody who was intended to be here. That's a big deal. That's good news. Number two, He gave us free will. That is also good news. We said that's good news, bad news. Because you get a choice. Because God didn't program you to just love Him. So you don't have a choice. I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to make you do what I want. And you're just going to do it. You're going to be my robot, my puppet, my... That's not how God did it. He gives you a choice. And because of that, that's a wonderful thing that we have a choice. That we can choose whether to follow God or not. Which also means we can choose not to follow God. The good news part three is that God showed you His love through Jesus Christ. If you didn't think God loved you, Even when you rejected him, even when you decided you'd be your own God and we don't need him anymore, he still loved you enough that he pursued you to the point to where he came down in the flesh in Jesus Christ, gave up his life, died for you to fulfill the law so that you wouldn't have to. He loved you so much and was so broken up about our broken fellowship that he paved the way. His love is what drove him to you. You think you're looking for God? God was looking for you first. That's the kind of God we have. That's good news. This is good news so far, 3 for 3. Well, let me give you a fourth of these four corners. Fourth is that God offers you abundant life today. Oh, we missed this one. We got good news all the way through the first three, and then in church we sit here and we're once again burdened. We can't wait. One day we have hymns that sing about it. We talk about one day we'll be with Jesus. We'll get out of this world of that's so terrible. God wants you to have abundant life today. That's the good news. And isn't that what you want? Don't you want a God who has effect on your life today? A God who can deal with your problems today, the issues that you deal with, the things that are on your heart right now, today? Don't you want a God who can do that? That's the kind of God we have. I think that's good news. That God gives you eternal life as soon as you believe in him. It's in that moment. You don't have to wait. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to live for 20, 30 years or however long you're going to live on this earth. And long, one day I'll be with Jesus. You can be with Jesus now. And you can live the abundant life right now. And you can begin your eternal life now. God doesn't want us to survive life on this earth. He wants us to thrive. That is good news. You see? It's good news. Contrary to what the Galatian churches in Galatia were hearing, contrary to what you might hear about religion, about God, from mainly people who've never read the Bible, from people who have not a clue what God is all about, let me zero you in today on some good news. And how do you make it your own? Well, Paul gives us this verse. It's a great verse. We must make it our own. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We talked about last week that this great, wonderful, good news, you have a choice. And the choice is, can you identify with Jesus? He died for you so you don't have to. But you have to identify, you have to recognize that and accept it as your death, as what was done for you, and then therefore accept his life to yourself. So you can live forever in eternal life. Put it briefly, and it's listed there again in your program, that becoming a part of the family we talked about, and Paul is very clear, you get it by faith, and that's by believing, by trusting, by making that choice, by acting on it. It's more than believing facts about God. Oh, I believe the Bible, I believe Jesus came, I believe he died on the cross, I believe he rose from the dead. That's not enough. Okay, it's a personal relationship. It's putting faith in somebody. Okay, it's knowing Christ. That's what it is. It's about a relationship. It's not about a religion. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about church. It's about Jesus Christ and knowing him. By faith, you can choose. Okay, and it's illustrated by baptism. We wrote that down for you because baptism is commanded. We sometimes talk about baptism is not what saves you, and that's very true. But sometimes we put it on the back burner then. It was commanded by Christ. Repent and be baptized. Whenever we come to Christ, he says, be baptized. Because why? Because that shows commitment and community. I'm a part of this community, and I'm willing to be a part. In a small, weird way, we do that with clubs and other organizations. You have an initiation, right? You know, if you want to be a part of our club, this is what you got to do. All right? We think that's normal. But when you come to Christ, the most life-changing decision, the decision to give you new life, we get all weirded out because God says, why don't you be baptized to show the world that this is what you believe? What? That's weird. I don't think I want to do that. Okay, well, you know what? Christ commands us to do that. He commands us to. And so it's a part of the act. It's like we said last week, it's like saying, I'll play on your team, but I don't want to wear your jersey. What? You're not going to wear the jersey? I don't think you're playing. You know, that's what it is when we refuse to come apart and become a part of God's church and God's family. We're saying, well, I want to be a part, but I don't want to be identified with you. Okay? Then we're observed by others. And Paul said, you clothe yourself with Christ. You clothe yourself. You're identified as a Christian by other people. They see it, you know, just like they can see that the clothes that you wear, it should be evident to the community around us. So those are just some brief things that are just so vitally important. If you don't get those, the rest of this doesn't make any sense. All right? So let's look in Galatians chapter 5. I want you to go there with me. Now, if you notice in your bulletin, we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip down and start reading in verse 13 through 25. Due to time today, I will refer to a couple of verses in the ones that we're skipping. But and you should read these at home. Again, if you don't have a Bible, grab one of those out of the box in the back and take it home and read about it. But we're going to start. I'm going to start with verse 1, then I'm going to skip down to 13. So follow along. If you don't have a Bible and you haven't had time to find it, just look at the screen and it'll be up there. All right, let's look at this together. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Down to verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are powerful verses with a lot to say. I pray today that you would pinpoint the message that you would want to each of our hearts as individuals and just speak to our hearts. Let every other voice fade into the background and only let us hear your voice, the voice that comes from your word, the voice that we need to hear, a voice of comfort, encouragement, a voice that says you are here and you love us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, it starts out in this passage by saying, for freedom, you've been set free. Well, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Well, of course, for freedom we've been set free. But it talks about the fact that we've been set free by Jesus Christ, and that we still, after we choose to be freed from the prison of our sin and our own selfishness, when we choose to follow Christ, who has unlocked the door, broken the chains, opened the door for us to come out, we still have a choice. And some of us, even though we come out of the cell that we've been in and out of the destruction and the pathway that our own life has taken us, we stand outside the cell for a minute and then we go back in. And we close the door and we're in slavery again. But you were free. Well, yeah, and you were set free so that you could be free. But some of us have used the freedom to step back into slavery. Now, how crazy is that? That is crazy. We're choosing to go back as opposed to choosing to go forward. We're choosing to go back into prison rather than be set free, rather than accept what Christ has done for us as our personal freedom. Freedom continues, friends, after we come to know Jesus Christ. Now, as a Christian, I want you to see that there are several things that are said here, and I'm going to read one verse that I skipped over, and it starts down there in verse 4. You have been trying to be justified by the law. You've been alienated from Christ, and you have fallen away from grace. Now, I want you to know that if you accept Jesus Christ and identify yourself with His death and His resurrection, and you believe in Him, and you're all those things we said about being a part of the family, you are a part of the family. But if you don't continue to walk in the Spirit and allow God to live through you, you're going to be an unhappy, miserable part of the family. Anybody have somebody like that? They're part of the family, but man, they're miserable. Or they make you miserable, right? It's the part of the family that's like, oh man, and it's complaining, it's negative, life is terrible. I want you to know right now that many of us, and I know for myself it's true, and I'm sure for most of you sitting in here, it is true, that even though you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you have gone through portions, times in your life, and you might be there right now, friend, you might be there right now, and you feel alienated from God. So much so that you doubt your own salvation. You're not even sure if your belief in God really took, because for some reason you feel alienated. You feel like you've fallen from grace. And those words don't mean you lose your salvation, your eternal life. What those words mean, the Greek words there mean that you have become limp and useless, that the power of Christ that the Kids Connection sang about a minute ago, that we've gotten this power, you're not experiencing it. The new life that you've accepted, the new life that you've got, just hangs limp. It's useless. In fact, the word that he uses here is the same word about a ship without a rudder. You feel like that? You ever feel like that? You feeling like that today? A ship without a rudder? I like this too. Paul paints such incredible pictures. He says, you know, some of you feel like someone has cut you off, cut in front of you. You know, you're running the good race. It says in verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in front of you? Everybody knows that feeling. We live in Northern Virginia. You ever been there and you're in line at the grocery store? And all of a sudden this cart comes up in front of you and you go, hey, hello, you see me here? You know what it feels like to be cut in front of? Who cut in front of you in your eternal life, in your life with Christ? Who cut in front of you that all of a sudden your joy is gone, your grace has been robbed, and you've fallen away, and now you're alienated from Christ? You feel like, hey, what is the deal? And Paul is saying, I know that's how you guys feel. So what is it that he wants us to know today that can help us get beyond this? Some of you all are here today and you feel alienated from Christ. For some of you, it might be because you don't know him. You just know about him, but you've never known him. Well, there's a reason then that you feel the way you do. And for others, you know Christ and you've come to know him, but you're not living the life that you hear about in the Bible. Where's this abundant life? Where's this joy? Where's this grace? Life to me is a bummer. Friend, Paul gives some answers right here. Basically, it's living by the Spirit. But what are you doing with your freedom? Christ has set you free. What are you doing? And let me tell you these three things. Use your freedom to do what? Use your freedom to be free. Use your freedom to be free. Make choices. Go by His Spirit. Listen, I don't have to be a slave to my sinful desires anymore. Unless I choose to be, now I have a choice.
And honestly, once we come out of a life of sin where we are used to doing things ourselves, we find that it's easy to go back. You know, it's easier to do things the way you want to do it. It was really great. I really missed that, you know. Some of those sins are pretty good. Really? And you choose to go back into sin, back into the slavery. You can't do that. Use your freedom to be free. Use your freedom to serve in love. He says, use your freedom instead of using your freedom to say, I'll follow the flesh. Use your freedom to serve others in love. Be selfless, not selfish. Do it by His Spirit and by His power. Use your freedom also to choose the Spirit. Where do you go? Choose the Spirit. Choose the Spirit. Today I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Every minute I'm going to follow you. Every moment you make a decision. Are you going to follow Christ or are you going to follow your own selfish desires? Every time you have this chance. You're walking by that tree of the knowledge of good and evil every day, and you walk by that tree and you know you've got a choice. You can either do it on your own and be selfish and be your own God, or you can let God be your God. If you're a Christian already, you can still be miserable. Oh, I know a lot of miserable Christians. None of them are here, I know. At least none that I'm going to name. But I've been a miserable Christian. You know, those are the people that I think, man, don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Man, you're going to be a bad advertisement for Christianity. Are you experiencing God's grace? Are you experiencing fellowship with Him? Can I give you four things? This is how you can do it. Paul says, live by the Spirit. Can we just look at a couple of things he gives right here? First of all, you've got to yield to the Spirit. Did you hear the Kids Connection Choir singing? They said, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Most people stumble over that. We like to be in control. We like to be in charge. I can handle it. I can do it myself. Yield to the Spirit. It begins with yielding to the Spirit that now lives in you if you're a Christian. It lives within you. The Spirit lives within you. The Bible says that we get the Spirit when we are regenerated, when we are born again, when we get saved, when we have an experience and start a relationship with Christ, that the Spirit comes and dwells within us. But it's our responsibility to continue to yield to the Spirit. He says, not only yield to the Spirit, but he says, crucify the desires of your flesh. Crucify the desires of the sinful nature. Kill it. Resist it. Flee from it. You know what? You may have a problem because you're still hanging around the problem. Run. Get away from it. Get out of the street. You're going to get hit by a car. And sometimes we need to take action in the power of the Spirit to stand against the things that are against the Lord. Not only that, but he says, I like this. He says that towards the end of the chapter there, that's where I am. He says, keep in step with the Spirit. Where is God working? Jump on in. God's working downtown on the sidewalks. God's working right here. God's working in this church. God's working in this community. God is working all around us. Stay in step with the Spirit. And then number four, beware of these things that can derail you. He says it like this in the last verse. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What does it look like when we're not following the Spirit? What does it look like when we're not living by God's standards? What does it look like when we're not yielding to the Spirit? It looks like this. It looks like pride. It looks like confrontation. It looks like competition. You know, it just means that we don't get along. Are you not getting along with anybody? Pretty good sign you're not really walking in step with the Spirit. What? Is it that easy? Yeah, it's that easy. Picking fights, arguing with people, contrary people. You know people that I'm talking about. And it might be in the mirror. I like to fight. I like to argue. Some people just do that just for fun. There's a problem here. Not in step with the Spirit, if that's the way it is. Beware of these things. These are signs. These are red flags to say, I'm not walking with the Spirit. Did you hear the list? Did you hear the list when I read it? It says the signs of walking in the flesh are obvious. And then he lists a big old list. I guarantee one thing, at least one thing on that list, you relate to. At least one. I guarantee you read through that list, you recognize something in there is you. At least one. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, and he gives that list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You say, man, that's not me. Okay, it's the fruit of the Spirit, friends. It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We look like the other list. God, when we yield to Him, looks like the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How do you do that? Bless you. You do that by choosing to live in the Spirit. We must choose to serve one another and love people. This is the truth. This will release the grace in our lives and intimacy with our Lord. Remember what it said? If you're not walking by the Spirit, it said you'll fall from grace. You're not experiencing life in its abundance like you're supposed to. And you're alienated from Christ. Fellowship is broken. So if you want intimacy with Christ and you want to experience the grace of God while you're living, you want to thrive instead of survive, then what do you have to do? You've got to choose to serve one another in love. Many of us, friends, are born of the Spirit, but we live by the flesh. We're born of the Spirit, but we live by the flesh. Can we take a time now to just make a choice? Just give a decision. I don't know where you are. Only God knows. Only you know. Maybe even only God. Because you're confused, because you've been living the Christian life, but it hasn't been measuring up like you hear in the Bible. You haven't been experiencing abundance and joy, and you haven't been experiencing the purpose of your life. Something's not right. You're alienated from God. Your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Things are just not going the way that you thought they should. Friend, God's ways are not our ways, that's for sure. But we can experience the grace of God no matter what our circumstances if we live by the Spirit. It's a choice that we have to make. So not only do you choose to be saved, not only do you choose to start a relationship with Christ, but you choose to live in this victory, in this grace. You still have a choice to be a miserable Christian or to be a fulfilled Christian. What's your choice? Every moment determines that destiny. Every moment determines how you're living your life. It determines the amount of joy you're going to experience. It determines it. Every decision. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. You're here. The Lord, I hope, is speaking to your heart through this scripture. He's kind of told you there's some things, some issues. Now's the time to deal with that. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. Basically, we're going to sing the last praise chorus, God of all. And as we sing this praise chorus, this is a time for you to decide. It's a time for you to meet with the Lord.